This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Well, Mike, first weekend of real football, as we had some college teams getting going this weekend, including the UNC Bears and the other UNC. We'll get into that. Disappointing loss by the Bears. A lot to discuss and unpack. We will turn the page a little bit over to the Denver Nuggets. Chris Dempsey will join us, our Nuggets insider. Top stories of the day, Mark Johnson. It's game week for the Colorado Buffaloes, and boy, is it a big one. Broncos make their 53-man roster official. Some surprises there. I was right and wrong about several things, which is kind of the whole show. Clip of the day, Cale Makar signs a big one. We got a lot to get to, Michael. I hope you hope you got a Red Bull back there, because the whole show. Yes, Mike. Yes.
I have a Mountain Dew, but not a red Mountain Dew.
Maybe red. Too soon, Mike. Too soon.
Yeah, very soon.
Too soon. Whole show starts now. Want to take in, Mike, and I start the season 0-1 on my picks, because not only did the Bears not cover, not only did they not win, of course, they didn't cover 3.5. They lose 30-29. They score a touchdown with 3 seconds left in the game. The call is then reviewed, which I don't understand why they reviewed that. It was pretty obvious. But it was reviewed nonetheless. The Bears march out to try to kick. Benson Ashley tries to kick the game-tying extra point. And it's kind of blocked, more or less kicked into a person. From my angle. I couldn't tell. I was outside. I didn't jump into the press box. But it was disappointing, to say the least, Mike.
I was able to watch. I did not go to the game. Fortunately,
you didn't make it to the game.
But I did watch on Fubo. No, ESPNplus.com.
And I heard it was bad broadcast. Is that right?
It was not the worst.
Okay. But not great.
I like what I was most disappointed in was like not having any camera angles. And the guys getting like they were having a conversation during a commercial break, because the producer, someone like me, forgot to turn off the microphone. I'll admit, I've done that before.
You've never done that.
No, never.
No.
Except for the times that I've done that. But, like, it was a rough first broadcast. I don't know if they were using new computers or what, but I thought the commentators were all right. My big, by the way, Matt Gaetter.
Oh, yeah, Matt Gaetter. Yeah, good dude.
Yeah, but
former Bear.
I wish that there were more camera angles, and this has always been a thing. It's like, I want to see, did he go out of bounds? I want to see why the referee marked it 3rd and 3 rather than what I thought was 3rd and 1.
From where?
It was when? On the first drive.
Oh, okay.
Weber
okay.
State had the ball, and he marked it like 3 yards short of the first down, and I'm like,
yeah.
What? Like,
well, let's unpack
this. Looks
like
he didn't step out of bounds that quickly to me.
Faith says, looked free of the stadium, but man, it was packed. It was absolutely packed. It was awesome. And I want to highlight kind of the entire scene, because we were out there pretty much all day setting up. We set up early before the tailgate scene started. The lights were awesome. The light shows they were doing.
Free Mountain Dew.
It was, yeah, there was free Mountain Dew out there, Mike. You missed that.
But I had a Mountain Dew here. So
Faith says, what are your thoughts on the constant rotation of running backs? It's kind of an Ed Lamb thing, isn't it?
We don't really know who's going to be the running back. I mean, Matthias Price. Matthias Price had a beautiful touchdown run, 17 carries for 106 yards. But then you kind of went away. You didn't see him a lot throughout the second half of the game. You know, Justin Ginn had 10 carries. Kenny Luth called his own number a lot. That was my biggest takeaway, is Kenny Luth, very good quarterback. 20 of 33, 226 yards. He did have the late touchdown, and that was exciting. But special teams, that's why, I mean, you got two kickers basically missing. You had Landon Richardson missed a field goal and his extra point. Benson Ashley missed the final extra point to tie the game. Should the Bears have gone for it?
Should
the Bears have gone for it?
I was saying that. I'm like, they were on a roll. They'd been playing well fourth quarter.
Well, and their defense wasn't making a lot of stops, Mike. So really want to go into overtime and mess with this? Because I didn't love the play of the defensive line for the Bears. I didn't love the secondary. I thought Weber State dropped a lot of passes, too. That opening drive for Weber State, that was a touchdown. Just dropped. There was a few others that ended drives quickly for Weber State. Because the quarterback Devin Brown had a guy downfield several times and just dropped passes, overthrows, whatever. So there's some things. There's some positives. I thought the Bears were going to run away with this thing because I thought Weber State high school coach converted to a college coach, 80 new guys. You're catching them at the right time. You got the lights. It's a historical night for Nottingham Field, for Bears fans. I thought everything was stacking up for the UNC Bears to start the season 1-0. But unfortunately, this felt a lot like what we saw last year. Close games that just kind of come down to some interesting decisions. Debatable decisions. Should Coach Lamb have gone for it? I'm not going to die on that hill. Because if he goes for it and they don't get it, then we're sitting here on Monday going, well, why didn't they just go to overtime? Why didn't they just take this thing to overtime?
Screw that. It's your first game under the lights in years.
Go big or go home.
And by the way, like, this is a good year to have those lights because 9 years ago they would have gotten blown out in their first game, and they're keeping games close.
There's that side of it you can look at, because the past 10-plus years, not only do the Bears not win a lot of games, they're not really in a lot of games where you're even kind of remotely excited by the time you get to the finish. And the fact that they were there and had an opportunity to win this game, or tie this game at least, is definitely a step in that right direction. But when do you start wanting more from the University of Northern Colorado?
Right now.
Yeah, I'm torn on this because I'm listening to Good Morning NoCo, and I know Brian's kind of more on the, hey, they're in the games. And Tanner's like, dude, I'm ready for more. I'm ready for more.
I am too, because I put a lot of faith in this team. I thought they were going to win this game, and 80 new players for Weber State. This was disappointing, and I think a lot of it, I'm not going to crap all over the kickers because everybody else is. A lot of it was on the defensive side. You can't leave guys wide open.
We do have Coach Lamb talking about No, let's go to the Kenny Luth one. Do we have quarterback Kenny Luth? Here's kind of his thoughts on how the end of the game transpired. Here's the quarterback.
Let's keep rolling. Like, let's go to overtime. I think we kind of had him right where we wanted him, and you know, things didn't play out the way we hoped, but we gave ourselves a chance there. And I was excited for overtime because I think we were wearing him down physically, and I think we just ran out of time.
So he's kind of back in Coach Lamb's decision of hey, let's just get this thing to overtime. Let's go to overtime, see what we can do.
That's not a decision I would have made, but
you're going for
again,
it.
Again, who's the D1 coach?
We've had a few of these though, especially last year, where it just seems like Ed is, you know, again, you press the wrong button. If you press the other button, maybe you go for it and you don't get it, and then we're bitching about that, saying, well, it came down to that decision. But there's just been a handful of these decisions now with Coach Ed Lamb where you are left wondering. you're questioning a bit of that process. And I don't think he was wrong or right. It's weird because
either one is the right answer.
Yeah, it's very difficult, man.
This isn't like, you know, they need 17 points, so they're just going to keep trying to get that touchdown instead of chipping away at it. This was one of those either answer. If it doesn't work, if you get that blocked extra point.
Yeah, I'm not going to beat him up or beat the Bears up necessarily for that. Is Weber State a good football team? That's the question. Ed Lamb told me on Football 52 on the podcast we do every Wednesday, if Weber State wins the game, then that's a good football team. Because he believes the Bears are a good football team.
Well, I hope they're a good football team because I thought the Bears were going to blow them out.
I did too.
Now I'm going to stop predicting scores because I feel like they're going to beat Montana State this year. It's going to be, they lost 55-7.
Yeah. It was a hell of a night. It was a hell of a night. And it was fun. The environment was great. It just didn't work out. And now you're left kind of picking up the pieces to try to see, you know, what this fourth season under Ed Lamb is going to look like. And I get it, man. Like, I'm at the point now where I'm definitely saying, hey, I want more. You got the lights out there. Now, I'm not one of those fans, well, they got lights, so much for that. They're not winning games under them.
They're selling tickets.
They're selling tickets, and you're creating environment.
They have not ever had that. Like, I don't know if the ESPN guys had crowd mics, but, like, I'd hear those games. There was no one in the stands. There were some people, but there was just almost no one. They sold out tickets. They're getting some excitement around this Bears team. So it's not only just for this year. It's going to be for future years.
It is a carryover kind of thing, and it takes time, and you want to build an environment. Faith says, I'm sorry when I hear a coach talk about the defensive line and how solid this and that is. I want to see that. I just didn't. The secondary was soft, not all, but some. I don't know. It's just time. And when the same thing isn't working, something needs to shift. I don't know. I'm tired. What I will say is grown men need to stop harassing players. Sorry you lost money, which is probably the case, but no need to get on social media and attack. And I didn't see that. But that's dumb if you are.
Were they harassing the kickers?
I would imagine so.
Everybody knows I'm a fan of University of Washington. A number of years ago, they had two kickers who just could not get it through the uprights, and both of them were getting death threats. I don't know what's wrong with people. They're human beings, and they made mistakes, and I couldn't tell if there was a problem with the hold or not. Like, grow up, guys. Quit harassing them.
It's one of those things. You got to walk that line. You walk that line of, okay, they are grown men. I mean, these are. They're playing football. Be disappointed. Ask for whatever you're asking for. I'm not asking for change with Ed Lamb, obviously. It's game one of year four in what I expect to be a longer career for Ed Lamb as the head coach of the UNC Bears. But if you take it that far, then you're out of your mind. I guess Faith says they're going to kickers' pages and sending them messages. I did see some of the comments on different posts. Yeah, that's wildly unacceptable. And if you're that person, you need to find it. Maybe find a different hobby. You know,
yeah,
that would be the
know.
Direction I would suggest.
I don't know why people do that. It's understandable how passionate people get about football games, but yet, sorry, armchair quarterback or fat dude in his mom's basement going on Twitter and harassing people. Like, you're a screw up. Your message to that person makes you a screw up.
First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. What did you guys make of the game, the event that it was? It was an amazing night that just didn't end the way the Bears wanted it to. I think Kenny Luth, great, excited about that. He's going to be a stud. Give the ball to Mathias Price more was my suggestion. Marcus Mosier, who we interviewed last week, Michael, 6 receptions for 70 yards. Trey Olsen with the late touchdown grab. Evan Morris thought, 4 catches for 28 yards. Got to clean some things up, though. Travis, the new guy, if you're that person, you need to find somewhere to give some mental health support. Yeah, if you're that person, you probably don't. Faith says, kudos to the team wrapping these guys up and supporting them. It's hard to be a kicker because all eyes are solely on you. Yeah, if you make the kick, it's kind of like, well, you're supposed to make the kick. If you miss it, you are the worst player that's ever existed.
Same thing with offensive linemen. Like, if you protect your quarterback and you hold a little bit, like, you are enemy number one.
Like, an offensive lineman can make block, can protect a quarterback 95% of the time, but it's that 5% that we notice that makes him a terrible offensive lineman. So you got to be educated when you're watching these games, man. Don't just listen, they miss kicks. These are Division I kickers at an FCS school, missing kicks, getting them blocked.
They're not the only ones. I mean,
college football kicking is just wild. Yes,
they,
a lot of guys miss kicks. A lot to still go here, and we'll talk more about the Bears' loss to Weber State in 0 week, but it counts all the same. It was their first game ever starting the season against a Big Sky Conference opponent, but it was a beautiful atmosphere. And well done to the University of Northern Colorado for making sure this all looked awesome for us. It was great. Chris Dempsey's going to join us a little bit later on. I know it's deep. We're deep into football season, but Dempsey's going to be joining us every week because it's August 31st. When we roll into September, Mike, everything starts to be on the table. Also, Cale Makar signs a big contract. We'll get to that and more. Some more recap from the weekend that was 21 minutes after the hour. Keep it here on the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Range Spare Change returns for the 2026 football season. Find podcasts on 1310kfk.com, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
No question. The very best environment I've been a part of. I just can't stop thinking about the missed opportunity. And I think our players feel the same way. I mean, that we've not had a crowd like that. We've not had a fan interaction like we had, how into the game they were. I felt it. Our players felt it. It brought something to the game. It brought something to the effort. And we missed an opportunity tonight. We'll have to earn that back, I think.
So that's what I kept thinking of. You know, when you start to get people excited about your program, you get people pumped up about your team, and they're coming out to the game, they're ready for the lights, and everyone's enjoying this. The thing is, a football team, you got to do, you got to try to win. I know, it's easier said than done. But, Michael, you're trying to create an environment in Greeley, Colorado. A football environment where there are diehard fans that are coming out and they're tailgating, they're creating a fun scene. And then if you can't deliver that win, yeah, I mean, you might have a fan that was out there like, oh, darn it, that was a close game. Now, close game like that, you might have a lot of people that walk away going, wow, that was fun. That was a lot of fun. But now you gotta deliver. You know, you gotta find a way to start giving this community some dubs, Mike. They're home against South Dakota this weekend at 6 o'clock. This will be another opportunity for the Bears to showcase the new lights, all of that. But you got to start wanting more. And I still believe in this team. I still believe in Ed Lamb. But it doesn't change the fact that it's a disappointing loss. I'm not necessarily 100% against the idea of going for the extra point. When they reviewed the touchdown, that's when I thought, kicker's already a kicker, not the same one, but kicker's already missed an extra point field goal. This is a weird game. Maybe because of that, now's the time. You got more time to draw something up here. I was kind of that mindset, more or less, to go for it. But they didn't, and here we are.
I was watching the game at home, and I actually yelled loudly, "Go for it!" Like, I was all by myself, but I'm young.
There was the crowd was it was a lively crowd, Mike. It was a crazy crowd. They were into it. Wanted the Bears to go down and win this thing. If they could have won that, oh man, if they go for two and win it right there, this place is going to go crazy. And then suddenly it's going to be like everybody there is going, okay, this is flat out a good time. I want to be here more.
Yeah, tickets sell out completely.
Like, well, the general admission tickets.
On that play, the next week is all sold.
I think so. The general admission tickets sold out there. Did you know that? That was pretty cool. So, I mean, hell, man, it was it's a fun environment. They're trying to grow something here. Very much feels grassrootsy, even though UNC's been around a while. But it's I'm still confident they're going to have a good season. Now, what I'm curious to see is Weber State any good? You know, the answer to that question might tell you a lot. If Weber State goes on and has a good season and the Bears can... So Weber State plays Southern Utah this weekend, and then they're at CU. And the Buffs are in action too, Mike. We've got Colorado Buffaloes taking on Georgia Tech on Thursday night. What a big game it is going to be for the Buffs to try to get a W.
What an incredible whitewashing it will be.
What does that mean?
They're going to get destroyed. Oh. CU's going to get destroyed.
Picture on Friday. Everybody knows that, but I don't know. I have a feeling the Buffs are going to lose this game on Thursday. I had them lose. I picked them to lose to Georgia Tech last year too. But if there's a team in our area that needs to win more, it feels like it might be CU. I mean, I thought UNC really needed to win that game.
I think all of them need it.
Oh, I think all of them. I mean, CSU, you got it's Border War week, Mike. We haven't even touched on that yet. It's Border War week. Wyoming smoked you last year, but it's a new regime at Colorado State. So a lot of big weekends already, right off the bat. Huge football weekends starting on Thursday night.
I was just realizing if picks are on Friday.
Correct.
And everybody knows that.
Everybody knows that.
Are you going to retroactively pick CU, or are you going to have to singular pick on Thursday?
It's got to have to be something. Have to be scientific, Mike. We got to be careful with how we do this because we do picks on Friday segment. But yes, it will be fascinating.
I mean, so, you could go forward in time or back in time if one of us invents time travel or if it's circular like everybody thinks it is sometimes.
30 minutes after the hour, Chris Dempsey coming up next. We'll talk a little hoops. It's never too soon to talk a little Denver Nuggets basketball. Dempsey joins us every single Monday here on the whole show. But first, Mike, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
In Colorado, local matters. It matters who you trust, who knows your name, and who's rooted right here in our state. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado, and we're staying grounded in the same values we've built on for generations. At Bank of Colorado, we stay true to what matters most. Local decisions, real relationships, and communities we call home. If you're ready for a bank built for Colorado and committed to it, choose Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back into The Hull Show. We're still trying to recover from the rough ending for the UNC Bears on Friday night, but you know what? We get to turn around and do it all over again, starting on Thursday with CU and Georgia Tech. Going to be a blast there. Friday, we're going to be live and on location at CBM Potts in Fort Collins for their Friday Night Lights. It's kind of their preview, their big preview and festival to ramp up for the CSU football season. So we were at UNC last Friday. We're going to be doing CSU stuff this Friday. It doesn't get any better than that. Well, maybe it does. Maybe with this next guest. Joining me now, Chris Dempsey. He's our Nuggets insider. Chris, I find myself, anytime Michael Porter Jr. does his podcast or there's clips about it, I have to go all in and watch all of it. He reveals a lot about the NBA, about the Nuggets, and a bunch more. I don't know if you caught his Curious Mike podcast where he talked to Peyton Watson recently.
I did, and, you know, I think the thing that caught my attention the most was obviously when he asked about the injury at the in the playoffs. And, you know, it's interesting because, well, first of all, Peyton Watson said that he was legit injured. So he got injured originally in a game in New York and then was out for a while and then came back and got injured like in the 80th game against the Utah Jazz again, same hamstring. What he said was, is when they evaluated him after that Utah game, it was, they told him that the hamstring was as damaged as it was when he first did it in New York, which was a grade 2 hamstring strain. And if then that's the case, then there's no way he would have played in the playoffs. And that's what he is saying is the case. He also said that he thought that the Nuggets ramped him up maybe a little bit too fast going into that Utah game, and probably was, you know, he probably should not have played in that game, was his point. So, you know, there's just a lot going around. And, you know, you have a player who's now playing for the Cleveland Cavaliers. You had a Nuggets team that was very injured. It wasn't just him that was in and out of the lineup, right? It was Christian Brown with the ankle, and then it was Aaron Gordon with the calf and hamstrings as well. And so, you know, is there a conversation to be had? Because Christian Brown during the middle of the season also said he was ramped up. He came back too early, so. Maybe that's just something that the Nuggets are looking at or have already, and you would have to have done that by now. Just exactly what the procedures are for bringing players back, and are there meaningful changes to be made?
Well, what is it, Chris? I mean, you would know this, like, because, you know, in the playoffs, in that series against OKC, we all talked about it. You know, Gordon's hurt, Porter's hurt, Russell Westbrook's hurt. Guys are hurt like crazy. Is this a point where the Nuggets maybe give in to the players too much, where the players are saying, hey, we're good to go. But a lot of organizations would say, no, you're not. We've evaluated, you're not good to go. Or is it the Nuggets kind of forcing the issue, like, you'll be fine? I mean, it does kind of, when you hear Peyton Watson talk, and then I know Porter talked about his thing too, it does make you wonder just how they're handling injuries around there.
Yeah, from Peyton Watson's point of view, it sounds like he felt maybe he was a little rushed coming back. And that would have been, you know, obviously on the organization, making him feel that way to whatever degree. And Christian Brown said something similar. Maybe he came back a little bit too fast. And so, sometimes you do have to keep the player, you know, from himself, save himself from himself. And I think in a great many of these cases, these players do want to come back quickly. They feel an obligation to the team. They feel an obligation to the city. They, you know, all the things in that pot. And so sometimes they want to come back quickly. You know, Jason Tatum coming back from his really, really devastating injury last year was one of them. You know, you had to wonder if the player wanted to come back before he was actually really ready to come back. And it worked out for him. It was fine. But I think all of these cases are different. And but if you're an organization, if you're the Nuggets, you probably do have to look at what your procedures are here. And if they, you know, need to be altered in some way, shape, or form, so that, you know, at the very least, when you're going forward, especially with these soft tissue injuries, that maybe now you have a plan that works, that is able to keep a player on the court instead of on the court re-injuring and then having to go through that process all over again. The team has to look at what it's doing in these areas, as well as in instances where players might want to push themselves to come back, and then you're saying, okay, well, let's just pump the brakes and make sure that we're being cautious here. I'm going to guess that the Nuggets are going to really start erring on the side of being cautious and with a lot of these injuries going forward.
Chris Dempsey joining us. Well, what's interesting about it too, Chris, is when you hear that quote from Peyton Watson, you know, maybe maybe they pushed me a little too soon. You know, they wanted me to get up and running a little too soon. But the fact is, they didn't. I mean, we didn't see Peyton Watson play in those playoffs. So I don't know. As I'm listening to this, it just sounded kind of odd because were they pissed? You know, were they going at when he said, "Hey, here's the deal. I can't go." And then they're trying to force the issue. It was really fascinating and kind of revealing, I guess, about both sides.
Yeah, and sometimes it is a situation where the player just doesn't feel comfortable enough to play. So if in this situation the Nuggets cleared him to play, and I don't know this to be true, but if they did, cleared him to play, but he felt that the hamstring wasn't strong enough for him to be able to really get out there and be effective, you know, that is a scenario that I could see happening for sure. I mean, that happens all the time in a lot of different sports. I don't think that the Nuggets would push a player who's clearly injured back onto the court. Like, I don't think that's the kind of operation that they're running. You know what I'm saying? If there was a little bit of an early ramp up at the end of the regular season and he didn't feel and if he did go out there in that instance, right, and he got re-injured, then you could understand why Peyton Watson would be a little more apprehensive about doing the same thing in the playoffs.
It's very fascinating to see. Now they go forward here, Chris. We hear Joker, you know, playing for Serbia. You know, he was asked about it and answered. He's like, "I'm focused on this, but we're going to be okay. You know, we're going to be okay." How do you think Nikola Jokic has viewed the Nuggets offseason thus far? Because, again, you hear tons of people out there, "Oh, he's not coming back." We talked about it a little bit last week. Now you're seeing, like, Lakers stuff where, hey, once the ownership situation is all figured out for the Lakers, they're going to make the full court press for Nikola Jokic. How does that stuff all hit you, in particularly talking about the Joker?
Yeah, it's interesting. It really is. You know, we're going into an area here where it's pretty rare. And it's pretty rare because there are a lot of things happening at once. One, you have one of the greatest players ever to play in the NBA at the end of his contract. But doing that of his own volition, right? Keep pushing it off so that the money at the end of the rainbow is even bigger when he gets to it. At the same time, the same player, Nikola, has said multiple times that he wants to end his career as a Nugget. At the same time, he has mentioned in the past that he would like to play with Luka Doncic, and you have a team in the Lakers that might just have cap space, and then you have a team in Greece who's also going to come at him with a whole bunch of money, a bucket of money. And then it just puts doubts in your head. And so that's where we are. And you have all of these, you're juggling all these balls at once. And we're wondering, well, wait, is he coming back? Mm-hmm. It's just enough doubt out there because there are actual real viable things that could maybe turn, sway Nikola Jokic away from the Denver Nuggets. I still don't think that's going to be the case, like just personally speaking. But I have to acknowledge that I am nowhere near as convicted about that as I was, let's just call it 6 months
right,
ago.
Right, right.
You know? So, yeah. It'll be interesting.
I mean, you and me both. I can hear him say it over and over again. You know, we're going to be okay. I want to be a Nugget. Even if we don't win another championship here, I want to retire as a Denver Nugget. But the outside noise and the fact that we don't have a contract signed, even though we know about the money situation, still just makes me more uneasy than it did, you know, a year ago at this time. I was way more confident a year ago. Say, oh, no, he's just waiting to sign, blah, blah, blah. Same kind of situation. It's just more information has been given to us.
Correct. It's like it's the thing that's different here is that there are outside forces where we can't just rule them out we can't just dismiss them as being ridiculous. The minute that you can't just start dismissing everything as being like, no, that is not going to happen in this situation. Once you start to get into that, that's where a lot of the anxiety has started to come because, you know, it's we all know that even you can't predict the future. And even if you have the best intentions or if you intend to do this one thing, life is life, right? I mean, there are things that can sway your decision. And we've seen the Koliokas choose the Nuggets over and over and over again with all the contract situations, with all the contract extensions in his career. But this one now is the most interesting one, because there's no more years on. I mean, after this, he can player option, he can decline the player option and become an unrestricted free agent. And, you know, while we believe that the Nuggets are the leaders in the clubhouse to obviously retain his services, we no longer know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. And because it's his option here to decline, then anybody can now say, hey, look, we have cap space. We have hundreds of millions of dollars too. Why don't you come here and play? And now we just have to wonder if he's, you know, swayable. Can his mind be changed? I think we went into this summer thinking no, but as you said, more information, more teams, more individuals, weird circumstances, and now we're all kind of wondering. Okay, well, I guess now we're just gonna have to wait and see.
Mm-hmm. And it's a very unsettling feeling, Chris. I got to tell you, it's
really
unsettling.
It really is.
Chris, before we let you go, man, those Buffaloes in action against Georgia Tech on Thursday. Huge game. There's a lot of noise surrounding the program. But if you go win, it erases everything. I mean, at least for 1 week. You like the Buffs taking care of business on Thursday?
Well, I think it's a 50-50. It's 50-50 for me. I think this. I think that, you know, Georgia Tech working in CU's favor is the fact that they are running a completely different offense than what they ran last year. And Georgia Tech beat them here in Boulder last year. So, you know, from a film standpoint, you know, Georgia Tech is going to have to go into the offensive coordinator's history here and find some instances of this go-go offense that he has created and try to understand what they're up against. That I think that gives CU, at least early in the game, first quarter and a half, you know, the element of surprise. Georgia Tech's not going to exactly know how CU is going to be come out and play. And so in that respect, if CU can grab a lead and then try to hold on to a lead, maybe you can steal a road victory. But I mean, I don't know what the odds makers say. I can't imagine that CU's favorite in this game. But to your point, if they are able to win and look good doing it, look like they, the summer was good to them and they were, you know, you put good players on the field and great schemes on the field, then maybe the season, now you got Weber State next and maybe the season can really take off. But I'll be lying to you if I told you I wasn't at least a little bit scared what the outcome can be.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing Juju play. And,
I am too.
And what the defensive changes might have been as well. We have no clue, most of the players on this football team. So we're all going to get introduced to them here in a couple of days.
Yeah, Georgia Tech, when this opened, -7, now -6.5. So that's there what we go. Think. Should be interesting, Chris, my man. Fun football weekend. Devastated here with the Greeley, with UNC's loss. That was a tough one. But
I know.
You know, we turn it around. We do it all over again this weekend. It's football. We're going to be heartbroken. It's all fun.
I'm glad college football is back. It's going to be great. And I think CSU, I'm very much looking forward to seeing what Jim Mora Jr. does up there, because I mean, I just have a whole lot of respect for him as a football coach and what he was able to do at UConn. And we were just watching, who was it that had UConn's offensive coordinator come over? It was TCU.
Yeah.
So I'm super psyched to see all the college football here, but in particular, what Jim Mora's team looks like up there in Fort Collins, because I think it could be a really, really cool experience.
It's going to be fun. A lot of great storylines surrounding these teams. Chris, always appreciate you, my man. We'll catch up with you next Monday.
All right, my guy. We'll talk to you.
11:50 the time, Michael. We will take a short break. It's a huge week. Huge week for the Buffaloes. Huge week for the Rams. All that. It was a rough week for the Mountain West. Talk about that coming up a little bit later on. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We'll be right back.
Spare Change returns for the 2026 football season.
Find podcasts on 1310KFK.com, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on The Hull Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Hey, yo, Montana, what's good?
Beverage of the week from On the Rocks Liquor. Wow, On the Rocks Liquor. It's Monday, Michael. The Casamigos pre-made margaritas, available in classic lime or add some heat with the spicy variety. Made with Casamigos Blanco, tequila, and orange liquor, they have just the right amount of kick to give you those summer weekend vibes. You can get a free sample this Friday at On the Rocks Liquor from 4 to 7. When you stop by, tell them we sent you here from The Hull Show, powered by Mosquito Joe. Okay, coming up next, we got top stories of the day. We haven't even touched on the Broncos 53, so we got to get to that. There were some surprise cuts from the Broncos, so a lot of discussion about that. And then more on the Colorado Buffaloes and Georgia Tech coming up Thursday night, and we'll recap, summarize more of the UNC big Friday night that ultimately ended in devastation. 11:57 the time. It's The Hull Show. Keep it here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.